This meeting is now being recorded.
Absolutely, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Well, welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 4 IDN Technical and Operations Call on the 11th of January, 2018. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. As a reminder to everyone, please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll hand the meeting back over to Cheryl Langdon-Orr.
Thank you, Michelle, and again, welcome to you all, and thanks for joining us today for what seems to be a little while since we've had one of our Work Track 4 calls, but we have got a new year starting and an awful lot of work to get going until we get our draft or preliminary work done and sent out for public comment with an aim of an April date this year. Sorry, I'm just adjusting my phone. It sounded a little bit crackly to me. Hopefully the audio is better now. Rubens and I are keen for us to try and consolidate and explore where we are on a number of our issues that we've discussed during our last calendar year. But today, through a packed and exciting adventure, is going to be focusing on something that has been put off a little while we looked at getting some of the mole for your consideration pleasure sorted out. So we're going to be looking at the financial evaluation straw opportunities in today's call, and that'll hopefully give us something to work on. There are four in today's call for us to look at, but this may not be the only four that we'll be exploring. But certainly, I think, give us plenty to consider. So with that, let's start by doing the normal administrivia and asking if anybody is only on audio, and if they'd just like to let us know. If not, we will get the roll call from the Adobe Connect room, as was stated. Not hearing anybody, then we will ask for any statements of interest that need to be updated. And again, not hearing anyone with that. Is there a issue or any other business that anyone wants to consider putting forward for the agenda? And nope. So if you will all now move to what would be slide 4 on your slide set, and I think you've all got scrolling ability, we will be now looking at financial evaluation. The financial evaluation, and if you could all move to slide 5, and I just want to adjust my screen. It's a little bit small for me to be reading at this particular time. We'll have a quick background look through where we are. This will be familiar ground to some of you, but it is important that we all know what our foundations are. Rubens, did you want to take us through this background, or do you want me to continue?
No, I take it from now. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Great. Over to you, Rubens.
Good time of day, everyone. Although this is very repetitive from our previous work call on this, from our Abu Dhabi face-to-face meeting on this, it's probably good to have a little bit of context to these discussions, that financial evaluation is being discussed based on one of the original GNSO recommendations, but that applicants must be able to demonstrate their financial and organizational operational capability, which was linked to a fear of what could happen to registrants in a TLD if a TLD was going to fail with financial issues. In 2012, we had an implementation that was based on questions and responses. So it was a very tight model, say, describe into these boxes what you'll be doing. and asked for financial statements, projection, how it would be funded, what would cost it be, and what's the contingency planning, including but not limited to the famous COI, the letter of credit. It requires a number of points that would require having at least in some questions achieving 2 points, but you couldn't reach no zero, so you could be minimal, need to be minimal on all counts. But although ICANN issued supplemental notes, we had 90% of the applications receiving clarifying questions, which is an astronomically large number. And it was evaluated per application. So if a portfolio applicant had some synergies, or using a single person to handle a task among 50 or 100 TLBs, that wouldn't be taken into account into that evaluation. Similarly, if an applicant had funding limitations, that would prevent that applicant from managing a large number of TLBs, that would also not be discovered by the financial evaluation, because it was targeted evaluating single application as if it was the only thing that applicant would do. So the question that everybody in the community and the IDA organization asked is, can financial capability be determined in a better way? So it's one of the few areas in the program where there seems to be an almost full consensus that things need to change. People might differ in opinion on how it would be changed, but in most of the areas, there are some champions of the current status. Financial evaluation is not the case. I don't recall anyone supporting the exact model that has been applied. So if we can go to slide 6, we will now go from describing 4 different models in increased level of complexity. This is not in any specific order regarding preference of by work track members. It seems that is a logical path to describe. The first one is this straw machine, which term coming from Zen philosophy, which would actually be not requiring anything at all for financial evaluation. That wouldn't mean that some financial information would be required for contracting. It still would be required for contract, and that information would be disclosed beforehand. So if we can go to slide 7, which contains the straw machine draft language, which I will read. Applicant will certify that funding for at least the critical registry services will be available even in worst-case scenarios. ICANN organization will provide sample financial spreadsheets of common registry models, grant TLDs, current registry operators adding more TLDs, new registry operators applying for newly open TLDs, and those models would allow applicants to make informed decisions and base their commitment in their decisions. It's a process of self-certification. And ICANN organization provide before application process a list that was believed to be complete of financial documentation, like we will require financial statement, we will require certificate of good standing in your jurisdiction, or any documents that are customary to ask for anyone you are signing a contract with. This model is very similar to model that is applied in the payment card industry, which is the PCI self-certification that at least for some volumes some transaction volumes, applicants can self-certify. They have to look at what are the requirements. They have to answer specifically how they are addressing specific threats, but it's a self-certification process. So this would pretty much resemble that. But if we can now go to slide 8, when presented that idea of a straw machine in first work track 4 and then later repeated in Abu Dhabi, some people reacted to the straw machine model as too simple or too forgiving, let's say like this. And most mentioned item in those discussions was about financial statements. So for those people, adding at least a requirement to produce financial statements due for application time would be necessary. But those same people say, oh, that's okay for not as for a financial model, but at least for financial statements, which would be required anyways for contracting. This is more something that could impact some contention sets, like if one applicant is not willing to provide those financial statements at application time, it will be already eliminated from that contention set, and the people will incur the risk of awarding a TLD to someone that later unwilling to provide financial statements. We have a comment from Maxim in the chat that will read that financial statements of new companies usually does not say more than a balance. I think, Maxim, that's a point that Krista made in her position paper that I sent to the list, but I repeat that point when we go to the straw cookie monster. What are the limitations of financial statements? So if you can go to slide 9, we have a straw B draft language. Is that applicants will certify that funding for at least the critical registry services will be available, even worst-case scenario. ICANN will provide sample financial spreadsheets of common registry models, brand TLDs, current registry operators, new registry operators, so they can make informed decisions. But financial documentation such as statements or reasons for not having, that's like the newly incorporated company, will be requested as part of the application process. So the only difference is the requirement of financial statements. And if you can go to slide 9, in Abu Dhabi, we saw the birth of another of our straw beings that keep multiplying themselves, which is the straw beetle. Even with the straw bee idea of having asking at least financial statements, there were some that mentioned that they would like to see more detail being provided on that. But those people didn't come forward with their ideas on that. So what is currently said is an educated guess of how it would like, because it wasn't described by the people advocating for it. So one mention, I think that was mentioned, was the possibility of the term financial model being developed but being third-party certified. So instead of ICANN evaluating the financial model, someone with recognized expertise like an accountant, an auditor, financial expertise would evaluate the model and say, hey, this model confirms that registry can survive even worst-case scenarios. So the question at this point is, since this is the model that that has been less discussion about. Is there anything else that people would like be seen in this model that would provide more assurances or reasonable information that would help improve the program? Is that anything anything people want to add to this model? Hearing none, I will continue describing the other models, but that's enough. Oh, we have one. Kurt, please go ahead.
Kurt, we're not hearing you. If you want to check, you're not muted.
Well, you are blessed by not hearing me. So I have three things to say, 3 points to make that are easier to talk than to type. So one is on slide 9 and other slides where it says, you know, ICANN will provide financial spreadsheets of common registry models. I don't, that, you know, especially if they're divided by categories, that just seems like impossible land to me, you know. ICANN.org might provide samples of typical registry costs for new registry operators or something like that, where ICANN's collected the data from other registries. So that's one point. The second point is, you know, maybe a way of simplification might be to divide applicants into two categories. One are, you know, ongoing concerns that have been businesses in good standing for many years, and they would get more of a buy, and then the other type would be a startup that might have to provide evidence of cash on hand or some simplified financial demonstration of wherewithal. So maybe there's a way to bifurcate, you know, in order to simplify the process, a way to bifurcate between not categories of TLDs, but categories of applicants where some are, you know, ongoing concerns that are stable and others that our startups. And then the third point I wanted to make was that, you know, I was wondering if there was a post-mortem report from the evaluators, but they were, you know, they were typically big four firms with the talent on board that after evaluating 2,000 applications, they would understand the efficacy of the questions, how the answers might or might not predict success and predict or recommend improvements for streamlining the process, because the evaluators are kind of the only ones with the detailed visibility over the whole process and that inside knowledge and, you know, that sort of big four management experience that could help make improvements and vastly simplify what happened in the first round.
Thank you, Kurt. I'll let the queue go and later come back to your point. So, Jeff, just go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry. This is Jeff Newman. I wanted to just support Kurt on the notion of, you know, ICANN supplying business models, I think, would just be kind of a wreck. And, you know, template spreadsheets, successful in this round, and it didn't really help them. And so I agree with that. I also agree on the bifurcation aspect with respect to, you know, I'm not sure startup versus non-startup is the right delineation, but maybe public versus non-public might be, you know, because with the public company, they have certifications from office financial officers and others, and, of course, their information is public. But I think that for non-public companies, we should require things like, and again, I'm speaking, sorry, personally, I should have said that, not as any kind of co-leader. I think we should require certificates of good standing as well as an audit report or some sort of financial report from a respected or however that's defined, accounting firm that certifies to the financial health and stability of the organization. I'm not a finance person, so there's probably much better ways to state that, but I would be completely uncomfortable personally with not requiring any financial information at all. I would love for the financial experts here in this group and elsewhere to help define what that kind of information would be and what firms would be considered reputable to get that kind of report from and what certificates of standing, good standing would be acceptable. But I think not requiring anything at all would not be a good way to go for ICANN as an organization, nor would the opposite end, having ICANN evaluate everyone's business model. I don't think that works either. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. We now have Cheryl. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I put myself in the queue, Cheryl, for the record. Jeff, following up on what you just said there and sort of working with what Kurt had introduced to the discussion, I wondered whether we might want to look at this treeing out or bifurcation aspect in two ways, if it becomes something that the group is thinking of recommending, because I hear what you said, Jeff, regarding a no financial, the Sturmuschen, and I think there are a number of others who, as Rubens has said, have expressed similar concerns on the no financial information. But I think Kurt's point of a bifurcation that looked at pathways for startup versus non-startup may or may not then be able to also have in it as almost and a next branching that could be between public or listed and non-public. So I just wanted to ask the group here when they're considering this whether those two aspects between what Kurt presented and what you just presented may not be mutually exclusive. It may not be either or. You may be able to use both of those things. And of course, at some point, and I'm just checking, is Trang in today's call? It would be very important to get some reaction from those who have the experience on actually running some of the evaluation processes. But there may be some real advantages to some of the streamlining aspects that you're both bringing out, not just the checklist of what we might recommend as what we should be looking at. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. If the queue is clear, I'll start by answering Kurt's point. Kurt's first point was about ICANN providing or not cost references. That was not envisioned by that description. The idea was templates similar to the 2012 ones, possibly a bit more defined. It's like, hey, you need a registry service provider. You need a data escrow provider. So, but only mention what are the cost expense lines, what are the revenue lines, and what is the funding, not giving typical numbers, only giving a model spreadsheet that could be used for calculations and would be retained by the applicant. It won't be sent to items, only for the applicant's own consumption and see, hey, can I make the commitment that I will make this registry working even in worst-case scenarios or not? That was what was described. Second first part was about startups. We explored some classification that during the discussions, and one of the issues we ran into is was that sometimes companies' financials look very red. For instance, Uber is a large company that is still in the red, Amazon was doing the red until very recently, and nobody would argue that those companies couldn't power registries that are solid because they are able to convince the market that to get more funding. So sometimes looking only at current financials and possibly financials doesn't reveal the fact that people can obtain funding and the investors might trust them or not. One example is donuts, where investors trusted them with a lot of money and they are doing pretty well. On Kurt's third point about evaluation improvement, although it was part of the ICANN program review that questions could be looked into, since most people agreed that the model should be changed, looking into results of the 2012 round doesn't look like an exercise that would be worth of people's time. It also noticed that some applicants that failed evaluation, at least the initial evaluation, later come up to be very successful registries. So that seemed that passing or failing evaluation didn't correlate well with success failure over the years. So that also undermines a bit looking to that evaluation. On Jeff's point of public versus non-public, one possibly interesting idea about this is that publicly listed companies have very strict information disclosure requirements. So some of them might be less willing to provide information, even information that's supposed to be secret, because of their requirements as publicly listed companies. But on the non-public side of companies, those that already exist would be easily get certificates of good standing applicable to the jurisdiction, but we also need to address the startup side, where someone might open a company just for registering a TLD. And some of those have happened in 2012, and they are pretty successful registries. So we need to balance the way of getting information or allow innovation to move on. If you can move to the slide 11, which is the straw beetle draft language, I will just point out what are the differences that the straw beetle that that the applicant would obtain a third-party certification of that financial model. So that financial model still wouldn't go to ICANN for evaluation, but will go to someone with recognized expertise, and that certification would be part of the application. Say, hey, this Mr. X accountant is saying that these models are sound. So based on assumptions and possible threat scenarios, these models are sound, but financial statement would still be related to ICANN. That was the description of the straw beetle. And then if you can go to slide 12, I took some points of Krista Taylor's position paper, which unfortunately couldn't be here today. And some of her criticism is that financial statements doesn't usually extend beyond the 1-year time frame. So if you only look at that financial statement, they will probably say that the company will be here in a year, but not afterwards. She also mentioned that last round registries are getting less revenues than projected, and their marketing costs are higher than they expected. So that less revenue, more expenses, possibly more financial trouble. And considering we're discussing subsequent procedures, if the TLB being applied for is an open TLB, it will bring an increased level of supply in a market that is not showing increasing demand. So that may lead to more failures, both among the new applicants and the currently established registers, I might add, but possibly to affect more the new applicants. She also mentioned that 2012 round applicants had no comparable data to establish projections, mostly used like .pale launch or something like that. And that was in a very different scenario when you had dozen TLDs. Now we have a very different scenario, but now we have the data from the current round for applicants to establish projections, and that data can be used by evaluators to assess those projections. So if you say that you are going to sell 1 million domains that cost $100, that will probably won't fly. So evaluators could compare that with a now established reality. And although Chris hasn't mentioned, I believe it's worthwhile mentioning that we now had at least the first financial failure, which is .red. They didn't go into bankruptcy, I believe, but they defaulted on paying their registry service provider. Their registry service provider informed ICANN of that, and that caused the first ever transition. So in our scenario, we had at least one failure that can be deemed as a financial failure. So if you can go to slide 13, I tried to summarize what was sent previously to the list, which is the Straw Cookie Monster. We have sent a more detailed document with all the models, including the Straw Cookie Monster, which is considering its name more, it's larger than the others. And the model suggests two different templates, one for applications with no expectation of revenues for any reason. Brand TLDs are an usual example of having no expectation of revenues, but possibly could be a cause-related TLD or something paid for by an association, like an sports association of sports teams. We have now a good number of these in the root zone as of now, and they don't have an expectation of revenues from TLDs. And the other template would be for applicants with projected revenues, which would depend on those projected revenues. They would be endorsed by an author and accounting, and they could either be some basic templates like the 2012 AGB or some custom templates tailored to the specific business model. So instead of being prescriptive and saying you have to fit your model into those boxes, a custom template would be allowed. It also advocates for having stress test tools similar to online mortgage calculators that could say, oh, if I have, let's say, a third of registration, then my expenses are twice as much. What happens in this case? So these tools would allow applicants to play with their information and come to a more informed decision on their risks. The evaluation would be done in a consolidated view of multiple applications, probably having probabilities of getting, say, that registry gets one TLD, that guest gets half of the TLDs they applied for, or that has gets all the TLDs they applied for. We probably have multiple scenarios in that dimension as well. Applicants will be required to provide planning on what happens when revenue goals are not met, when expenses go higher than expected, or when funding gets less than expected. So it comes to actually three possible stress scenarios of in the registry. Any item would provide a checklist for registries to make sure that most common direct expenses like paying a registered provider, paying as for provider, I had paying from Stack 11 3B monitoring, that those costs are foreseen. So this is a model that would build up on 2012 round. So different from that evaluation, it would be going deeper into evaluation and in a more holistic way of evaluation. So it pretty much goes in the opposite direction of the other three models, which go more into the streamlining trend. So having went through all models, I am now get Cheryl on the hook, so she can walk with us in the model's decision tree. Cheryl, please go ahead.
And thank you, Ruben. Cheryl, for the record. Hopefully my audio is still all right. So if you now move to slide 14, we want to look at and then do some discussion for a few minutes on what we think is a decision tree. And, of course, based on some of the earlier conversation, they may even be need to discuss a process tree. But let's also, for a moment, pause. And there's been very robust and interesting lot of interventions going on in the chat, most of which are captured in the notes, of course. But I wondered if any of those people, Jess, Maxim, and just to name a few, Phil, who've been interacting in chat now, would like to raise their hands, and I say yes, because you've had a lot to say, and it would be good to have some of it in the audio record as well. Jeff, go ahead.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Jeff Newman, and speaking personal company capacity, not as one of the co-chairs. So I think we need to distinguish between checking for financial fitness versus checking on financial success or likely financial success or business model of the registries. I certainly believe financial fitness should absolutely have strict criteria, but that could come in the form of having that certified by a third party who does that kind of thing. And of course, as part of that certification, it's going to look at whether the registry is one that is set up to have to be more internal, meaning not selling third-party registrations, versus those that distribute or sell third-party registrations as a separate type of model. But ICANN shouldn't be in the business of determining or evaluating business models itself. It doesn't have the experience or expertise to do that, nor does any registry business turn out to be like it was originally predicted in that evaluation. So just to kind of summarize, I think it comes down to, for me personally, that I do believe financial fitness should be part of the process and checking for that, but not a review of the business model itself, separate and apart from whether the organization is financially fit to meet its obligations under the agreement. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim, also for the record, yes, I partially agree with Jeff that since actually nobody used the models they uploaded to ICANN for many reasons, including the change of fees, for my example. Nobody predicted that TNCH would cost additional $5K, or nobody could predict that they will not be able to conduct business in few years while paying salaries, rent, etc., etc. So I don't see a lot of value in using models which are not applicable, actually, or sharing them, because it's like sharing abstract financial formulas which have no applicability and no value thus. And the next thing is, I'm not sure in which work track we're going to deal with the letter of credit or financial instrument, but I think we need to add somewhere a placeholder about the cost of a barrel, because financial model and financial statements, they directly tie to the cost of the letter of the credit. So we shouldn't ignore it because it's like only financial things, only financial track, because it's used in evaluation. And I think at least review should be conducted of how Ebero funds were used, if they were used at all in .web, and that's it basically. Thanks.
Cheryl, for the record, thanks, Maxim, and we should make the point, of course, that so far in these discussions and deliberations on our models, that we have not specifically looked at the letters of credit issue. Ah, but I see Rubens has his hand raised. Over to you, Rubens.
Thank you, Cheryl. To mention one thing, responding to Jeff, that the straw beetle model still has a financial model that needs to be developed by the applicant and certified by a third party. It's not certification of only the stability of the financial statement. It's still looking for financial model, but just not having I can look at the financial model, but a different party looking at the financial model. So having third party certification of the financial statements instead of sending them to ICANN could be a tweak in the straw bee, or you could create a new straw bee that you would like. But the straw bee would still require applicants to develop a financial model, even though that model doesn't come to ICANN's evaluators for analysis. And I see you writing the queue, so please go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Ruben. The straw beetle slide 11, I saw that and I was kind of looking at that model. The second paragraph's what confused me, because I am not in favor of ICANN providing any sample financial spreadsheets of common models. I just don't think they can do that, have the experience to do it, or expertise. For the, I'll note just for, and I put this into the chat, when ICANN was seeking input on business models prior to the last round, they were doing so at the same time of trying to figure out what the cost would be of an eBureau and how much companies should put aside and, or applicants should put aside in a COI. That naturally created the incentive for all registries that submitted information to put as low of costs as possible in there because they knew that their applicants would not want to put a lot of money aside for a COI. Naturally what you got were business models submitted to ICANN that were much, much lower than what they normally would have been or what they in reality would be. And then, of course, you have the issue that Maxime raised where there were lots of unforeseen costs that came into the picture later on. Plus, you always have the instability or the unpredictability, I should say, of the markets and everything else where business models, I don't think you could find anyone that submitted any business model information that even remotely came close to what actually happened in real life. So all of that said, with respect to the straw beetle, then I would take out the whole notion of ICANN.org providing sample financial spreadsheets. But that said, I do think in order to get that third-party certification, the applicant would be required to disclose to the accounting firm or whoever is going to give that third-party certification information on what it intends to do with its TLD, including whether it will be closed or open, and have that certification by the third party encompass financial fitness factors that do take into consideration the business model. That's where I'm personally kind of thinking. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. It's Cheryl again for the record, and we've still continued some excellent interaction on the chat, and anyone listening to the audio on this call needs to look to the notes as well as this chat record, because there's a lot going on in all of the tools that all of the parts of the tool we're using today. For example, Phil Buckingham points out in chat, and I'm not going to read all the chat points with the time we have left, but that he noted that while he was agreeing with Jeff, he says, by its very nature, every single business model is different, and we can't standardise any model. And, of course, we do also need to remember that highly innovative and as yet unknown thinking on things may come up with a model that does not necessarily fit into a cookie-cutter template or, indeed, sit in the perhaps risk-averse criteria that even a professional analyst, which has also been discussed the merits of in the chat, may be comparing and contrasting things to. Jeff is also noting in the chat that every model changes, and indeed that's why they're called models, not history. That was my aside, by the way. That was launched 3 or 4 years ago after they applied, went through lots of changes between application time and launch time. And that is indeed why at least one of the models that we looked at, and do remember that the slides are a high-level facilitation to conversation tool. The more detailed information on these models was distributed to the list about 24 hours or so ago, and of course it's been discussed as they were developed, probably with the exception of the Cookie Monster, which had its fleshed out materials only sent out to you more recently. We really need now to take a moment before we go towards the close of call and look at where we are in general thinking on these models. recognising, of course, that this is not the end game here, although we do need to get to a recommendation point in a not too distant future. Any one of these models could have aspects that you want to pick out and maintain, and some other people may indeed have some excellent ideas on edits or modifications to, for example, the straw bee, just to pick one out randomly. That may in fact make it a bee mark two or something that fits more comfortably with the consensus and comfort on what we might be recommending regarding changes on financial evaluation for future rounds. But let's now look at our slide 14 details. And this is just a summing up, of course. If a stricter financial evaluation model than the 2012 round is to be applied, the straw cookie monster, in other words, the latest, and when I say more complex, I'm not using that in a critical way, more detailed perhaps is a better term, model, is the only one that satisfies the criteria for a stricter financial evaluation model choice. Among three simpler of the four we've looked at than 2012 round models, the straw mushroom, the almost empty model, is the only one with no financial evaluation. If this is considered satisfactory, it's a very much more streamlined model. Remembering, of course, that at a later than evaluation or contention point in time, materials can be looked at and reviewed, but in a very different point in time in terms of confidentiality or indeed in terms of getting funds secured. But that again is in details as well. Let's not dwell on that. Amongst the two other straw models, the straw bee and the straw beetle, they're very similar in terms of the effort put into evaluation, but they do differ on whether applicants self-certify their financial capabilities or obtain third-party certification. And that becomes the critical choice, at least one of the choices, that you'll need to discuss and decide upon. We aren't, in the 6 minutes or so remaining, going to come to a consensus point, come to any form of agreement on which one of these directions we should go. We've had some excellent conversation today, where I think we've probably headed in certain directions, but of course we do need now to look at this discussion, review at least these four models that we have, and look at, are there new models or evolutions that we might want to apply to any of them, adjustments or refinements that we might want to apply to any of them, and come back and see whether we can hone down, reject or continue on with any or all of them. So, one of the things I would like you all to do, having got your juices going on this topic, Ruben and I would very much like to have this conversation continued on list, and recognise that we will come back to this, perhaps not in our next meeting, but we may do. We'll discuss that and see whether or not that's important. One of the other things, though, one thing I don't think is responded to, Kurt also pointed out that after the 2012 round, what some of the firms would have a great deal of knowledge and information and probably a good idea on what would be an ideal system. And we have in fact not answered your question as has anyone asked whether they'd like to make a suggestion. Jeff, do you want to, or Rubens, do you want to handle that based upon responding to that question, which was left hanging from Kurt, either on Lyft or now. First of all, we don't have any other business, so if you want to click through to the next slide, that's where we're up to, any other business or closing on slide 15. Or did you want to spend a couple of minutes now reacting to that question? And I'm hesitating here because of the experience we had when we thought we had a fairly simple matter of looking at the qualifying questions that and the data that was associated with the qualifying question. So, Rubens, oh, Jeff, there you go. You've got your hand up. Okay, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. To respond to Kurt, and you're right, we should not ignore that. It's an important question. So we've been trying to work with ICANN staff for probably a good part of a year now, in trying to get information about the clarifying questions that were asked with the purpose of taking information from those clarifying questions and revising the questions on the application form such that so that we would not need to ask as many clarifying questions in the future. If you had to ask 90% of the applicants about their answers on a COI, for example, then obviously the question wasn't worded very well, or the question wasn't worded to elicit the responses that the evaluators needed. During this year since then, it's basically come to our attention that the information is stored by ICANN, but not in a very organized way where it would be easy to elicit or solicit that information. ICANN did not have its evaluators engage in this exercise as kind of a postmortem, which probably would have been a good idea, but it didn't, and would now have to, if it did want its evaluators to do it, it would have to re-engage the evaluators. We did, by we I mean Cheryl, Rubens, myself, and I think Avery at the time, had an initial conversation with ICANN staff to see how much it would cost to do that activity with one of their evaluators, the one that was responsible for basically Jazz Advisors, that was responsible for ensuring consistency. And they came back with a incredibly high quote, over $100,000. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was way too expensive. And ICANN staff basically said, we can't spend that money. You would need approval from the GNSO, and therefore we can't have the evaluators engage in that exercise. Then we asked, well, can we have the data ourselves so we can do it? And the response was no, because we'd have to get permission from the applicants in order to release even what questions were asked of them, let alone the answers that were given. ICANN did ask the applicants in the middle of last year, if you remember, about this. Some applicants said, yeah, we don't care if you share it. Some applicants said, yes, we do care, and we would not want you to share it. We had a call towards the end of the year where I just said to GDD staff, look, this is our goal. We want to rewrite the questions so that they actually elicit the kind of information that the evaluators need to minimize clarifying questions in the future and, help us help you do this, basically. And ICANN staff is still in the process of responding to us. But at the end of the day, they will be, they still asked us to get funding for this exercise. My last position with ICANN was, this should come out of your funding because it's helping you do your own job. So that's the long answer. Sorry about that, but we're still engaged in this little back and forth with ICANN. Hopefully we'll have a better update in the next 2 weeks.
Thanks, Jeff. And Kurt, you'll now understand why I didn't just answer the question, yes, but. But Yes, but also covers it. In fact, Kurt, if my memory serves, I think it was an order of magnitude larger than 100,000. But we will actually get back to you and let you, we'll let you know. It was a very scary amount, I can assure you, but I'm sure staff could grab that quote at some point and put it out. But there is, of course, the fact that, yes, we have asked. We just haven't quite got to a satisfactory answer yet. So with that, and thank you all for spending another 60 or so seconds of your time, although we did start a few minutes late, I'd like to thank all of you, and Rubens and I would like to thank all of you for the work that you're going to be doing on consideration and ruminating on our discussions today. We now need to ask you to start to think about narrowing down or deciding that you don't want to narrow down from the four or a modification of the four models we currently have, but we do need to have a decision point in the very near future on what recommendations or draft language at least we will be putting into our preliminary report in a very short number of months. So with that, hopefully we've got you all excited and raring to go on this topic, if not all of the topics in Worker Track 4. And we want to thank you and bring this call to a close. Bye for now.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Again, the meeting has been adjourned. Have a great day, everyone.